It's good to be in the house this morning. Amen. Amen. How many love Jesus? Amen. If you have your Bible, go to the New Testament today. I want to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. And I want to read, I would normally make you stand, but I'm going to read 21 verses. And I've learned something about us folk in the church. You know, you can't make them stand for 21 verses. Somebody amen that right there. So, but I want to obey the Lord, and I'm going to get right into the Bible. I love mothers. Matter of fact, I will leave, and I do this every year. I'll leave from Cornerstone and drive to Paris, Arkansas, and hang out with my mama. Amen. Amen. And I am a proud member of a mama's boy club. Amen. You say, why are you that? And I'm like, Brother John, my mama loved me, still loves me. And getting to hang out with my dad and mom today. And my sister, brothers, I think, they made a big meal. And you know you got to eat on Sunday. And so I'm going to get to do that. But I want to obey the Lord. And I'm going to free you up today. If I really took my time, it'd take me about an hour to preach this message. But I've got good news. I'm not going to take my time. I'm going to hit it wide open. Sister Virginia teased me this morning. She said church starts at 10:30. It's over at 10:45. And I was listening to her, thinking. Then I thought, she's just teasing. Amen. Or I hope she was. Amen. Now I know she was. But look at Matthew chapter 14. Now I'm going to begin today in verse number 1. Work my way all the way down to verse 21. Now, I've told you this the last few years, and if I take my glasses off, there's one reason I'm going to take my glasses off. Because I cannot read my Bible with my glasses on. Take my glasses off, I can't make out any of you. I can't tell if you're frowning, booing, upset. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, there's some beauty in that. Because you realize everybody don't like the way I preach. Amen. Well, look at Matthew chapter 14. It's an absolute joy for me to be here. One of the highlights of my year is being here. And I believe it was Sister Virginia asked. The wife is getting to see her mom and dad today. Last week, I was in Springfield, and the whole family went up with me. And I was actually there Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday at one church, and then preached at another church 25, 30 minutes from there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I've had some practice before I got here. Amen. Look at Matthew 14. I'm going to start in verse 1 and go all the way to 21. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. Therefore, mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him, put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Why would he put him to death? Excuse me. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. She being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. The king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. He sent and beheaded John in the prison. His head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. His disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." They say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." He commanded the multitude to sit on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, looking up to heaven. He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. You'll find a miracle in verse 20. "And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children." Father, I thank you today for the reading of the word of Almighty God. I thank you for this Mother's Day. God, we honor our moms and what they mean to us. Father, how their heart beats for you and beats for their family, beats to be able to pour into their children and to their grandbabies. And God, I just pray today that as I've opened your divine book, that you would loose my mouth and that you'd loose my tongue. If there's anybody today lost, let this be the day they'd recognize they're a sinner in need of a Savior. God, minister to moms and minister to dads. Minister to young men and young women. Do that only you can do. And God will bless you and God will thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. If you don't mind, would you look up here today? I want to preach to you for just a little while out of this unusual text. I want to preach today on how to react to things we don't understand. Amen. Let me hit the rewind button and say that again. How to react to things we don't understand. Would you agree with me on this Mother's Day that every one of us in this room, things have occurred, things have happened in your life that really don't make any sense? Amen. And we're going to address that subject. I had never seen it, Brother Carl. I had never seen it, but I came to Matthew 14. And I'm real interested in finding out how Jesus, the Son of God, reacted to the death of John the Baptist. He gave us 3 Bible examples of how to react to things we don't understand. Now I promised you, in a minute, I'm not going to preach forever. Somebody say amen. So we're going to approach the text. John has died. They have cut off his head. It doesn't look fair. It doesn't seem right. Thoughts like this, it is a cruel, horrible death. Matter of fact, it really doesn't make any sense. Would somebody shout amen? Now, when God began to approach this text to me, when I thought about this horrible death, Brother Tommy, here's what I thought about. It seems as though that wickedness has triumphed over righteousness. That's what it looks like. It seems as though that cruelty has triumphed over goodness. Brother Larry, it seems as though that Satan has become victorious over our Lord. But can I remind you on this Mother's Day, things are not always as they seem. Amen. Things are not always as they seem. John has lived godly. John has walked a godly path. John's got the touch of God on his life. He's a mighty man of God. And he dies such a horrible, horrible death. John has impacted the Jewish community. Now, from heaven's standpoint and from mankind's standpoint, it's two different perspectives. When you look in the eyes of man, thoughts like this come to my mind. John, we need you. You've got the touch of God. When you preach, people are moved. And we're, John, I appreciate what you're doing. But then all of a sudden, because John was faithful, now John gets his head cut off of his shoulder and it really doesn't make sense. And I said, God, how can I parallel that to the people in this crowd on this Sunday morning? God said, there are people that walked in on this Mother's Day at Cornerstone that have dealt with a premature death. Somebody in your family died at an early age or died just like that. And would you agree with me? That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right. Maybe you've walked in on this Mother's Day. And maybe somebody you love or somebody you're real close to went through a divorce and it broke your heart and tears plowed furrows down your face. Would you agree with the man of God? That didn't make sense to you. Not only a death, not only a divorce, but a disease or a sickness or an ailment. I thought of thoughts like this, Brother Carl. Maybe somebody walked in today and they've been abused or they have been wounded early on in life. And they walked in today and they've got questions rolling through their mind. How and why did this happen to me? And God said, Derek, I feel the Holy Ghost. God said, Derek, I want to help you today, son. I'm going to show you how my boy dealt with tragedy and dealt with disappointment. Can I just go ahead and say this right here? Death and discouragement and tragedy doesn't move Jesus like it moves me and you. Me and you fall apart when tragedy comes and disappointment comes. But Jesus stands strong and steady. But here's what he did. I just got three things. Let me put my glasses on, make sure I can see if you're grinning or frowning. I just got three things that Jesus did that just speaks volumes to me. When tragedy, when disappointment, when things happen that don't make sense. Number one, if you jot down notes, here's what I want you to jot down. Number one, I see in Matthew 14, Jesus surrounds himself with his disciples. Amen. Brother John, let me hit the rewind button and say that again. He surrounds himself with people that love God. Now, you say, Derek, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to drive into my heart and drive into my spirit? Here's what I'm trying to drive in. When trouble comes, when tragedy comes, when disappointment comes, we need to learn from the master's example and get real close to people that love God. Most of the time, Brother Carl, in this generation and in this time frame, Brother Larry, it seems as though when trouble comes and tragedy comes and disappointment comes, lots of people tuck tail and run from the church. That's not the time to leave. You need to surround yourself with people that love. What's Jesus? He's dealing with these disciples. Their friend, John, the great man of God, has his head cut off. And Jesus looks at these disciples. And here's what he knows. If they've ever needed me, they need me now. And he gets real close to them, Brother Bill. And he puts right arm around one of them and left arm around the other. And he draws them in close. because he knows they need him now more than ever. And can I just speak to you today? If troubles come and disappointments come, you need to surround yourself with people that love God. Now, I'm going to give you an example right out of the Bible. Now we know the little boy had five loaves and two fish, and Jesus causes the multitude to sit down, but John has died, and so Jesus surrounds himself with these people, Brother Ron, that love God, and he surrounds himself with them. I thought about Peter. Peter was in prison, and they'd already killed James, the brother of John. And about that time, God delivers Peter out of the prison. I want you to notice this. Peter began to thank Brother Tommy over there at John Mark's house. They're praying for me. There's a prayer meeting going on, and they're praying for me. I want you to watch the parallel. Here, God delivers him from the prison. And he thinks, well, I don't want to hang out at the prison. They just killed James, the brother of John. I think I'll go over there. Y'all ain't hearing me. Where they're praying for me. Where they're believing God for me. Can I tell you, there's nothing like brothers and sisters that'll bear one another's burdens, that'll pray one for another, that'll encourage one another. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but there's help in the house of God. There's hope in the house of God. And there's healing in God's house. Surround yourself with people that love God. So I said, boy, God, that's good. He said, Derek, I'm not done. What about Paul and Silas? Do you remember when God delivered Paul and Silas out of the prison? Do you remember where they went? Pastor Carl, they went to Lydia's house. And when the Bible said, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and they departed. When they got around people that love God, it encouraged them. Number one, surround yourself with people that love God. Now, I'm going to preach to you now. Now, you say, man of God, do you mean to tell me you're already on point number two? I'm just as shocked as you are. Number one, he surrounds himself with people that love God. Number two, if we can get this concept, Brother Bill Rogers, we'll turn rolling Oklahoma upside down for Christ. Number two, we find Jesus not only surrounds himself with people that love God. Number two, we find Jesus serves the needs of others. Wow. He serves the needs of others. You say, Derek, where did you get it? Watch this, Pastor Carl. There is a multitude that have come that morning to hear him preach. They have brought the sick for him to heal. They have remained with him all that day. They got there that morning, and now it's noon, and noon is come and went. Now it is evening time. Now you got to understand, they just heard the day before about John the Baptist beheading. And now Jesus is taking his disciples and they have departed. Now this is what captivated my attention about Jesus. When trouble and tragedy came into Jesus' life, is anybody glad Jesus didn't put a sign up that said closed? He didn't put a sign up that said out for lunch. I'm preaching better than your amen. He didn't put a sign up that said, we'll get back to you when trouble lightens up. He began to meet their individual needs one after another. He began to pour and find and begin to serve the needs of others. Now, I'm going to get blessed because this blesses me. You say, Derek, what are you trying to tell me? Oh, you need to see this. So he's feeding the multitude. And thoughts like this came to my mind. A few years ago, I won't go into deep detail. Now, I'm at my heavyweight championship fighting work. I know you can't tell it, but I've lost 10 pounds. And you say, well, I wouldn't have wanted this. Yeah, I was chunky if you... Yeah, let's get off of that. I had triple chin disease. And I tried not to... if you really... Brother Larry, if anybody wants depression, just lay you a mirror over your bed and then lean over that mirror. If that don't depress you, you can't get depressed. Let's get off of that. How'd we get on that? But I just get real but probably 5 years ago now, Brother John, I went from probably, let's just say, over the 200 mark, and people start laughing, and you ain't even told the story. Hey, anyhow, I got down to about 175. Now, I won't go into all that, but Brother Carl, I was battling life. Life wasn't making sense. I was out on the road preaching every night of my life, and things and disappointment and hurt and tragedy had come into my life, and I'd went from over 200 to about 175, and I'm in South Oklahoma. South Oklahoma's like the River Valley. It's hot. And it's summertime, and you know, if you got good sense, you're going to walk early in the morning. But when you're battling life, you don't care if it's noon or two. Brother John, I got out in the heat of the day. Sweat was dripping off my face. I didn't care. I was just trying to get some of the stress off of me. Because in a few hours from now, I was going to have to stand in a pulpit with hurt and brokenness and disappointment in my life. And I'm out there walking. Now, give me just a few moments. And my phone rang. My phone rang. And here's the conversation that I had. Preacher friend of mine called me, and here's what he said. He said, man of God, I don't know what's going on in your world. I don't know what's happening. I don't know. And it's none of my business, preacher. But he said, I'm going to tell you what God told me to tell you. I believe in you. And you're God's man. And you're going to make it. And you're going to get through this. And you're going to hold your head up. And God's going to get the victory. Hey, now everybody look up here. Can I tell you? Hey, all of a sudden, the sweat dripping off my brow didn't mean nothing to me. All of a sudden, because somebody took time and began to pour into my life and began to serve the needs of others. Can I just preach to somebody? You need to find, if you've walked in today and your family is battling trouble and disappointment, hey mama, you need to find another sweet lady in the church and begin to pray for her needs and pray for her children. And y'all ain't hearing me. And begin to pour into her. And the same grace that God gives that lady, God will give your family. And God will give your home. You need to serve the needs of others. Can I tell you what I've done since the last 4 or 5 years? When God put somebody on my heart. Pastor, I'm telling you, when God puts somebody on my heart, I text them or I call them. Not because I'm a spiritual hero, but because I remember how encouraging it was to hear somebody talk to me and pour into me and not ask about 50 questions. Well, we just talking today. Somebody say amen. Now, here's where I'm at. So we find Jesus. He serves the needs of others. Now, if you take notes, here's what I'd write down. Do you realize Jesus didn't have to serve the needs of others to overcome the death of John? Because he's God. But pastor, he was leaving me and you and this church family an example of what to do when trouble comes. And when tragedy comes, Brother John, we surround ourselves with people that love God. Number two, we serve the needs of others. Hey, can I tell you in 2019, I love the slogan. Can I tell you in 2019 what we need to do at Cornerstone? We need to serve the needs of others. You want to reach this community? Serve the needs of others. I'm preaching real good. And it'll help, Brother Roy, it'll help our church be a blessing. Now let me give you an example real quick. What about Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph, hey, if you want to get on my nerves, do you remember Joseph? They throw him in a pit. And I'm not going to preach it, but they throw him in a pit. And if that wasn't bad enough, Brother Tommy, then they eat in front of him. Don't y'all sit up here and act like I don't know what I'm talking about. If you want to get on my nerves, throw me in a pit that I can't get out of and then lick your lips while you're eating fried chicken. Hey, you talk about not right. Unfair. Things that don't make sense. But there Joseph was. Do you remember when he got to Potiphar's house too? Real quick. When he got to Potiphar's house, he began to serve Potiphar. And the Bible said, and the Lord was with him. And the Bible said that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him and made all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand. Then after he then Potiphar's wife cast her eye on him. And again, another sermon, and I'm not going to preach it. And she told her husband that this Hebrew you brought in, he tried to defile me. And now they throw Joseph, they throw him in the prison. Now listen to the man of God. He serves at Potiphar's house. Then he gets in the prison. And guess what he does? He serves the needs of others in the prison. And he goes from a jailbird that morning, and by noon, he was second in command. How did that happen? Because he served the needs of others. Now, you're doing great. You're listening fast. Let me put my glasses on. Oh, Lord, this is going to be the record pace, fastest sermon you've ever heard Derek Stinnett preach. Now, I'm not on point three yet. Somebody amen that. But I want to give you this. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they said, "Do thyself no harm." The jailer was about to commit suicide. Do you realize, Pastor, Paul began to serve the needs of others. When a man was about to commit suicide, Paul said, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." He saw the needs of others. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, if you'll look close enough, you'll find the needs of others. They're all around you. People are just waiting to be encouraged. Waiting for you to invite them to Cornerstone. Waiting on you to open your mouth and say, "Man, we've been having church. Brother Carl and Sister Virginia, our pastor, man, we got a great program. God's moving at Cornerstone. We're growing. People are being saved. People are being helped." Would you agree with me? If you'll take time to serve the needs of others, God will add to the kingdom. Yes. Now, I'm already on point number three. So number one, he surrounds himself with people that love God. Number two, he serves the needs of others. Number three, I'm going to preach to you now. Number three, Jesus sees the little things. I didn't even get an amen right there. He sees the little things. Now, here's where it is, Brother John, Brother Larry, here's where it is. His disciples, they could not see a little lad's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, feeding the 5,000, not counting the women and children. But Jesus had his eye on the little thing. And here's what God gave me, and I won't give it to you. You ever thought about this? I'm going to pick on myself, Brother Tommy. If my mama picked me or made me a lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and you know she had to make it that morning. Noon has come and went. He still got his lunch. Let me break that down for you. Miracle. Yeah. Roy, let me say, miracle. I'm not done. It's evening time. The little boy's lunch is still there. Say it one more time. Miracle. Because Brother Larry, if I won't talk about you because I don't know how you eat. But I'm going to tell you right now. If I had had the lunch that Mama packed for me that morning, it would not have made it to the supper time. It would have been gone. Because I've been on keto and I'm looking for some cornbread. Somebody's... I shouldn't tell everything I know. But anyhow, let me give you this. I thought about this. The little Rahab the harlot. The spies came in and they told her as long as the scarlet cord was out of her window that her and her family would be safe. It was a little scarlet cord in her window. Every day, Sister Marlene, she would go to that window and doubts and uncertainty and perplexity and problems would begin to penetrate her mind. And she'd go to that window and she'd see that tiny little scarlet cord that's out of her window. And she'd say, as long as that scarlet cord, that little cord is in the window, me and my family are going to be safe. Amen. Wow. What about this? What about in the Old Testament? Elijah was in the cave. The Lord was not in the wind. You remember the story. The Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire. The Lord was in the still, small voice. What about Job? Let me give you this one. Do you remember Job? Job looked out and he saw Brother Carl. He saw a stump in the ground. I mean, he could have saw a cedar of Lebanon. He could have saw a fir tree. But he saw a stump. In the ground. And there were, everybody look at this, there were little shoots of green things. Y'all ain't hearing me. Coming out of that stump. And God was telling Job, I'll get life out of death. Woo! I know it's revival and you're not supposed to shout on Mother's Day, but I'm about to shout on my own message. Hey, because somebody walked in today and you're blinded. You're trying to see the big things in life. Everybody look up here. Can I preach from my heart? It'll be the little things in your life that helps you overcome the tragedies and the disappointments of your life. I closed the message. It was this summer. I got two or three stories, but I'm going to close. I promise. I was outside and I was watching my kids swim, Brother Carl. My phone rung. Here's what they told me, Brother Larry. Mark and Carolyn and Candace have been in a horrible accident. They go to my home church. They've been in a horrible accident. And Candace, the 15-year-old, which is a few days from turning 16, Candace doesn't look very good. An hour later, Sister Tracy, an hour later, they called me. And they said, Candace is gone. Candace is gone. Mark and Carolyn had adopted her when she was 15 months old. Now she's 15 and a few days from 16, and they had the funeral. And I'll tell just a few quick thoughts, little snippets of their story. So I didn't get to go to the funeral, Brother Ron. I didn't get to go. But they tell me in the funeral, Brother Carl, that almost 600 people came to Candace's funeral. And at the end of the service, they sang, "I Can Only Imagine." And Mark and Carolyn, a daddy that was broken and a mama that was broken, stand to their feet and lift their hands in the air and worshiped Jehovah God. Now, God told me, Brother Tommy, God told me to go see them. Everybody look up here. Can I tell you, I'd rather went anywhere on the planet than to go to that home. Because I knew how disappointed they were. And I walked in and I said, "I don't have the answer." Do you realize we're awful prideful to tell broken, hurting people that we have the answer? We don't have the answer. Brother John, we don't. But they asked me, they said, "Would you please tell us something?" And here's what I told them. I said, 20 years ago, I wrote this down and I use it all the time. They said, "What's that?" I said, "Hurting people don't need explanation. They need consolation." I said, "When you cry, I'll cry. When you laugh, I'll laugh. I'll hold your hand when you hurt." But I said, "Mark and Carolyn, God might not show you the big things, but He'll bring the little things into your life that'll help you overcome." Mark said this. He said, "Derek, I can't explain it. Have you heard?" I said, "No." He said, "Last night we had a youth service," and he said, "8 teenagers gave their heart to Jesus because of Candace's death." And here's what they said that blew my mind. They said, "Now we're hurting and we're numb and we're hurt. But we both said we would go through it again to watch God get glory out of our lives." How do we react to things we don't understand? Stand all over the room. We surround ourselves with people that love God. We serve the needs of others. We look for the little things. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Father, I'm humbled by your presence. I thank you for these folks that are going to help us in this invitation. God, I don't want to be long. I really don't want to hold us up on this Mother's Day. There's a lot on our plate today. But God, I just ask you to minister to the homes, minister to husbands and wives, ministers to daddies and mamas and young men and young women. Do that only you can do. And God, we'll bless you and God, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Please, nobody looking. If you're in this room today and you've dealt with something that don't make sense, you're going through some things right now that you don't understand why. And you've walked in and you're wiping tears and God is trying to minister to you. You need to surround yourself with people that love God. You need to serve the needs of others. And you need to look for the little things in life. Derek, that's me at 11:33 on a Sunday day. I have been dealing with things that I don't understand. That'd be you. How many honest hands would go real quick, go up real quick? Yep, 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 yep. Yes, yes, yes. I promise I'm not. I promise you, Mom. I promise you, Dad. I promise you, teenager, I will not embarrass you. I wouldn't even dare guess how many hands went up, but a great number of people raised their hand. Here's what I'm going to do. If you meant business, these guys are going to obey God and play. They're going to play softly. And here's what I'm going to do. If you meant business on this Mother's Day and you need help on this Mother's Day that comes from God above, would you get out of your seat and meet me around the altar right now. There, come on, real quick. Somebody's the key that's going to make others have enough courage and enough strength to get out of their seat and come. Would you come, Mama? Would you come, Teenager? Would you come, Papa, Mama? You're not being...